This morning in your Bibles to the book of Psalms 37. Psalms 37, a familiar passage of Scripture. I trust it'll be a blessing to you. When you found that, why don't you stand? This will give you an opportunity to stretch and smile. Yes, sir. Oh, all right, sir. Yes, sir. Let me use this one right here. Psalms 37, we're going to look today, hold on just one second. All right, is it on? Are we happy? All right. Psalms 37, let's look today, if you will. We're going to start reading in verse 23, and we'll read about four verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and after that, you'll be at liberty to be seated. I want to say again, thank you to your pastor for allowing us to come, and I appreciate the fact that he trusts us enough to allow us to have this morning service with you. And then I want to say again, thank you to the church for allowing us to come also. And then Miss Linda, I don't know where you're at, but I tell you, we had a good time last night. We caught two fish. One was about that long, one was about like that. Amen. But hey, we caught them. That's praise the Lord. Amen. Now look with me, if you will, Psalms 37, verse 23. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then he says, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Now let's have a word of prayer, and then after that you can be seated. Our Father, as again we come to the throne, it's in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we come with a grateful, thankful heart. And I say to you this morning that I love you. I thank you, Father, for the privilege to be here, the opportunity to share a small portion of the Word of God. And our Father, Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And Father, I think about what you said in Psalms 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And our Father, I pray that you'll call to my remembrance all Scripture that is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, that God, we thy people, might be thoroughly furnished, lacking nothing. Now, Lord, if there's one with us today that's lost, I ask you, Father, that you'd speak to their heart that they might be saved. If there's one with us that's cold and indifferent, warm their hearts. And then, our Father, would you encourage and edify, would you exhort and equip each and every soul that's here. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to be here. Bless now as we try to share the Word of God. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as you look at Psalms 37, now I say to you, a lot of times when I know why a particular psalm was written, it helps me to better understand, one, what's taking place, and number two, how it can apply to my heart. And actually, they're not for sure as to who wrote Psalms 37. May I say to you, most of the writers that I've read from believe that it's written by the psalmist David. And there's probably more, but I'm going to give you four reasons or four possibilities as for the reading or for the writing of Psalms 37. Now, one writer, he comes along and he makes the statement that it may have been written during the time when David was running from King Saul. But I don't believe that. I believe he was still a young man at that time, and he was a warring type man. May I say it to you like that? W-A-R, war. He was a warring young man. And he says over here in this passage, I've been young and now I'm old. And I think he was a much older man than that. Another reason for the possibility of writing is that it may have been when Absalom rebelled against his father for the kingdom. And that is in a proper time. It is in a time when he would be an older man. And this may have been the scene or the reason for the writing and the setting for the scene. I don't know that. Another reason for it is it's believed that it may have been written by David, and he's trying to console Mephibosheth as he is the last of Saul's family. If you remember, David brings Mephibosheth into the king's house. He gives him a place at his table. He restores to him all of his lands. He puts workers on the land, and the income that comes forth, it's Mephibosheth's. And that may have been, and that's a possibility right there. And then third or fourthly, Some men believe that David did not write this whatsoever. It was written in the captivity time of the Babylonian captivity, when Israel is jerked up, pulled out, and they're taken into a strange land. And if you'll notice with me, that could be a possibility. Notice with me what he says in verse 1. He said, "Fret not thyself because of the evildoers." There was a lot of wickedness. There was a lot of sex. There was a lot of sin that was abounding at that time. And Israel had to put up with that. And that could have been a possibility as to the reason for the writing. We don't know that. But one thing that we do know, he said, "I have been young," and he said, "I'm now old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread." Now, if you look with me, if you look down in verses 1 through 8, you'll see number 1, if it is David, David's advice. And then if you look with me in verses 12 through 15, you see his afflictions. And then if you look with me in verses 13 through 22, you begin to see his admonition. And then we begin to see his adoration in verses 23 through 27. He said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." He said, "I've been young and now I'm old." And he said, "I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread." Let me talk to you and give you four things to think about in this passage, verse 23, 24, 25, and verse 26. If you will, may I say to you, look in verse 23, and we see number one, there is the guidance of God. Notice with me what the psalmist said. He said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." I want you to notice with me, there's two things that we see in that. We see number one, there's the establishment of the journey. And then we see number two, there's the elation of the journey, or the elation in the journey. If you'll notice with me the establishment of the journey, I want you to see with me what he says. He said, "The steps of a good man are ordered." Now, I want you to get this word ordered. I want you to see that for just a second. May I say to you, the word ordered was used in three different settings. It was used when a king would order in his next meal. And he would bring it in and he would have that. He would partake of that meal. And then secondly, it was used when a captain, for example, a captain would order his men into battle or into duty to do what he ordered them to do. And then it also speaks of creation, when creation was ordered in. I realize, I understand, if I remember correct, ordered may not be used in that passage of Scripture, but it's used in that light or in that setting. As you think about the word ordered, may I say to you, number one, it speaks of an establishment, or to be established. It speaks of to fix, and it also means to set in place. And so we see the psalmist is coming along, and he's saying, "The steps of a good man are established." The steps of a good man are set in place. The steps of a good man are fixed by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And so we see, number one, there's the establishment of the journey. And I want to give you three things to think about, the three promises. There's three things that I appreciate when I think about this little passage of Scripture. May I say to you, number one, he is leading our way. Can I tell you, friend of mine, that God's on your side today? You may be sitting there and you may be thinking that your prayers go no higher than the ceiling, or your prayers, or God's not in 100 miles of your prayers. But I want to tell you something, friend. God's on your side, and God loves you, and God cares for you. Now, he wants us to do it the way that he's teaching us, and he wants us to live the way that he has taught us to live, but God's on our side. And I want you to notice with me, when you think about that, turning your Bibles to the book of Job chapter 23. And in Job 23, we find these words, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, let's look at that for just a second. "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." As you think about this, Job chapter 23 and verse 10, it's not at the beginning where Satan comes before the Heavenly Father, and the Heavenly Father looks at him and he says, "Has thou considered my servant Job?" He actually says that to him, if I remember correct, two times in those opening chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 3, I think it is. It's chapter 1 and chapter 2. And as you think about this, may I say to you, he's right smack dab down in the middle of all of the trials and all of the afflictions. His body's done been hit. His finances has done been hit. His family's done been hit. They've been taken away from him. The only thing that he has left is his old corrupt body and his wife. And, you know, we wonder and we say, well, why did Satan not touch his wife? Because that was his flesh. and so forth and so on. But as you think about this, his three friends, and then they bring a young man with him, or a younger man with him, and they sat with him, I think it's for several days, in sackcloth and ashes, and then they begin to tell Job why he is not right with God. They begin to say this, and they begin to say that, and they begin to say that God doesn't do things like this, and so forth and so on. But Job looks back, and he answers these words to him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And I said that to say this, that regardless as to what is taking place in your life today, it doesn't mean that the Heavenly Father has forgotten you. It doesn't mean that he has forsaken you. It doesn't mean that he does not know where you and I are at in the midst of our storm. But I can tell you this much, he's on your side, and at his time and at his discretion, God will work in your behalf and in mine. I don't know about you, but listen, that kind of like an old preacher told me one time, I'd just been saved a little while, just started preaching, and I asked him a question about prayer. And he looked back at me and he gave me some of the best theology I've ever heard. He said, if God don't answer my prayers, he said, I'm going to get out on my knees and find out why. Now that makes sense. I don't know about y'all, that sounded better to me than Dr. Corky Bottlestopper and what he had to tell me on prayer. And what I'm saying to you, he come along and he also said, if God don't answer my prayers, he said, I'm going to get down on my knees and find out why. Why? And he also made another statement, I'm trying to recall it, and it's just fled from my mind, forgive me. But it's like this, he said, well, it's fled me again, let me just go on. But I want to tell you, God's on our side and he knows where we're at. And then secondly, may I say to you, not only that, but we see another thing, and that is not only that he's on our side, but he knows where I'm at. You look over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. He said in verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divided and asunder, soul and spirit, the joints of the marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men. And then he says in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And God sees everything that we're going through. You know, sometimes when we see a Christian and we say, that's one of God's choicest saints. And then we don't understand and they've contracted cancer and we don't understand why and so forth and so on. But can I tell you, a friend of mine, God knows where that person is. And God knows about the cancer, and God knows what's going on, and God will help. And if he don't give a healing on this side of eternity, he'll give a healing to the other side of eternity. And may I say to you, you know, we've heard words like that, and it sounds good. And a lot of times we're looking here, and we're looking there, and we're looking everywhere for comfort. But may I say to you, your comfort, my comfort, it'll come through the pages of the Blessed Bible. You'll be sitting down and you'll be reading. You'll have been praying about the situation at hand. And you'll be telling him everything that's in your heart and the things that's on your mind. And God, you'll be reading through scripture. And it's just like he reaches up and pulls you down by the nape of the neck. And he says, this verse is for you. And he'll give you that, and it brings more comfort. It brings more strength. And it gives us the ability to carry on if you'll stay fast and read the scriptures and see what God has to say. And then may I say to you, not only does he know where I'm at, not only does he know what's going on, but may I say to you, he knows every step that I take will not be in a good place. Not every step I take is going to be in a good place. But he knows every step that I take will lead me to a better place. Now you think about that. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his son. You know, I think about the colored stained glasses that you have in the windows. And I think I see some mauve, I see some yellow, I see some red, I see some blue, light blue, I see some green. I see all colors, just about every spectrum of the color in the glasses. And as you look at this glass, you may look and see, for example, a yellowish brown. Let me just give that as an example. You may not preference that color. And as you look at a tapestry, you know, I'm thinking about you don't have a tapestry around. But I think about the Christian flag or the American flag. There may be a color in that that you don't necessarily preference. But when you put all of the colors together and you hold it out where you can see all of it, you begin to see the beauty
of all that's before us in the stained glasses, in the color of the flag, in the Christian flag. And that's the way life is. Life necessarily doesn't deal us out a deck of cards where everything's always good and there's always sunshine and there's no hardships and there's no tears. But may I say to you, as God looks at our life and as we look at our life and we see that one time, you know, think about it. Let me give you this example right here. Down home in North Georgia, we got those big, tall, yellow pines. They don't have a tap root or much of a tap root. A good hard wind can come over and can literally blow over a pine like that. And you probably have something similar up here like that, if you understand what I'm saying. But a pine tree about the size of a large pizza pan can soak up to 130 gallons of water per day. And you know, as you cut that pine tree down, and as you begin to cut the rings, we know that speaks of the years that it was existing, and so forth and so on. But you see one ring in there that may be thicker, and one ring that's much thinner. And it's because of the rainfall that came through that year. And may I say to you that when you look at your life and my life, there can be unpleasantries. There can be better years and worse years. But God said, and we know that all things work together for good that to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And God knows where you're at and what's going on and what's taking place. Secondly, let me just give you this. I'm going to skip the elation of the journey. But notice with me, look in verse 24, notice with me what He says. He said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hands. Last summer we had two of our grandkids, the little rednecks from over in Augusta or Hepzibah, Georgia, they come over to the house. We kept them for, I think it was 2 weeks. And they're little cotton tops. Both of them are good looking. They look just like their granddaddy Gregory, amen? And all of them things, you know, and so forth and so on. And one, mom was giving them a bath. And I'm minding my battle station. I'm on the couch. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord, amen? And here comes one through, big old toes shining, hair all spiked up like this right here, has little hands like this, had his jammers on and didn't have on the top. And he is looking at me and he is coming through and he's grinning. Well, just as soon as he passes by me, I reach out and, buddy, I pull him in and I grip him good. I begin to bite him on the ear, tickle him, pinch him, bite him, chew on him, and have a good wrestling match with my grandboy. And you know, I said that to say this, if you look in this passage of Scripture, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. May I say to you that God has a grip today? And may I say to you, God's grip is greater than your grip and mine. You and I will try to work things out. You and I will try to do this, and you and I will try to do that. But if you'll pray about it, and if we can, rest in the hands and the arms or under the wings of our Savior and let Him do it, let Him deal with it, it'll always turn out better. Let me give you something to think about. Notice with me, if you will, He said, though he fall. And I want you to see that little word fall. It's not from a Hebrew word that is such a great word. It's not a profound word. It's somewhat of a common word, if I could say it to you like that. But it's the meaning of that word that I want you to see. May I say to you, when he says, though we fall, may I say to you, number one, as he speaks about our stumbling, it means to be hit. Several years ago, we were at Kentucky State Penitentiary, and we were getting out. It was summertime. It was still early, and we were getting out relatively early. And so we left that day, or that from the prison. We'd been there on visitation, had our services that evening, and we were going back, and somebody said something about bowling. Anybody bowl around here? I don't golf, but I goof about once every 10 years, amen? And, you know, listen, somebody said something about it, so we began to look, and we found a bowling alley. And one old fella that was with us, he took his bowl, or bowling ball, he put it in his hand, and when he did, instead of letting it go, he just followed it. And down through there, he slid for a little bit, amen? And, you know, though we fall, and may I say to you, the word fall there, it has that thought of like a bowling pin and it's been hit by the bowling ball. And a lot of times you'll see them and they're just like this right here. You don't know if they're going to or not, but they fall. And it's that thought of being hit, and it's that thought of falling. And he says, though he fall, though he's hit by something and he's knocked down. And I want you to understand that life has not given us a bed of roses. Life has not promised me everything under the sun. I don't have this promise, son. I don't have this promise. I don't have that. But I have the promise of the Heavenly Father that though things come along and they hit me and they knock me down, He'll help me and He'll get me back up. I get tickled at my little 110% battery back there. He's resting it right now, amen? And he's getting ready for this afternoon when we go home. He's got 1,000 questions. And before you get 1,000 answers, he's got another 1,000 questions for you, okay? Well, I bet that, Papa. What about, did you see that, Papa? And so forth and so on. But you know, sometimes he'll fall and he'll say, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm all right. And he lets us know he's okay. And you know, may I say to you, though you fall, you're going to fall. And God the Heavenly Father sees that. And with his providential hand, he knows how to lift us up and to set us back up. And then may I say to you, not only do we see that it means to fall, but can I say to you, it also means to voluntarily lie down. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I don't know, maybe y'all never feel this way. How many ever feels like just giving up? You know, I think about pastors and sometimes, and I don't know about your husband, I'm sure not insinuating it about him, but on Monday morning they say, you know, I'm giving up. But come next Sunday, they're right back at it, ready to go again. And you know, sometimes life hits us in such a way. Things come upon us. Life gives us a heavy burden to bear. And we say, what's the use? I just want to give up. But God says to be strengthened with might by thy spirit in the inward man. You look over in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power of God that worketh in us. John 15 verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. God has the ability to lift you up and to strengthen you and give you that strength. You know, sometimes when you get going in the Christian way and you know you're busy. Sometimes you just say, I'd like to slow down. I'd like to stop for just a minute. But God will give you a rest at a convenient time. And God will give you that renewing strength. And God will renew you and speak to you and give your heart what you need. And then he'll pick you back up and let you go again. And then may I say to you, thirdly, as you think about this passage of Scripture, not only it means that, but it also means, listen, to just stop because you're tired. Sometimes things hits us and it just, I'm quitting. I'm tired. I don't know about y'all. You ever just kind of wanted to lay down on the job and preach when you're laying down? Y'all didn't expect that one, did you? Amen. Well, it's a new form of preaching, I guess. I don't know. But sometimes that's the way it is in life. We're tired. We've been bumped. We just want to give up. But God knows where you're at. God's grip will be there, and God's grip will help you. You know, sometimes, can I tell you this right here? Some of the best prayers are the most effectual, fervent prayers that I've had answered. You're going to laugh at me when I say this. It's one of shed tears. How long has it been since we've had an all-night prayer meeting? How long has it been since you've taken that situation to God in prayer, and God speaks back to the heart, I know what's going on. I've got grace. I'll be sufficient. I'll help you with your need. You know, we've come to the point that we look to dear Abby. God bless her heart. She's now in eternity. We've come to the point that we want to turn here and we want to turn there. And what does the horoscope say? And boy, that sounds real good and so forth and so on. What does the book say? What does the Holy Ghost tell you in prayer as you seek his face? That's what matters. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption, Ephesians 4 and verse 30. God lives inside you today. If you're saved and you've been born again, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And listen, friend of mine, when you begin to pray, look over in Romans 8:26. Let me ask you to turn there very quickly. We'll go on in just a second. Likewise, the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And as you begin to pray, it's the Spirit of God that takes your prayers up to the right hand of the throne of God where the Heavenly Father's Son is seated, and He turns to the Father. Look over in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. He said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. He said, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you see, friend of mine, listen, as you kneel on your knees, as you bow your head, as you pray, it may be in your bed, it may be beside your bed. It's the Spirit of God that takes that up to the right hand of the Father. And there we have an intercessory Savior that turns to the Father, and the Father sends back grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. And may I say to you, God's concerned about you today. Look with me thirdly and notice with me. He said, I've been young, and he said, I'm now old, and I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. May I say to you, we see the giving of God. And what I mean by the giving of God, there's two things. There's His reflection of the past, and there's a rejoicing of God's provision. Notice with me, he starts out, and he said, I've been young, and I'm now old. And maybe David is looking back, if David is the author of Psalms 37, and is looking back to that time when he takes on a bear and he takes on a lion. And it prepares him because right after that, he's going to take on a giant. And it prepares him right after the giant, he goes his first trip into all of Israel and they become acquainted with who David is. And God has these preparatory things in His life. He orders them in. And David, now he's looking back and he said, I've been young and now I'm old. And through all of this, in all of my life and in all of my journey and all of taking place, God's been faithful, God's been fair, and God's been there to help me in my time of need. Look with me, if you notice with me, there's the reflection, and then not only that, there's his rejoicing. He said, I've been young, and he said, now I'm old. He said, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Can I tell you, God's been good to me? Can I tell you, listen, I stand amazed in the presence of the Lord, how God has answered prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer. When I say this, please don't think I don't want to sound forward. I don't want to sound braggadocious. Can I use that word? Or can I use that? It's probably not a word. But little would have thought that this country bumpkin out of North Georgia, God would allow me to in many of, I've been in 32 nations, and I've had the majority to preach in the majority of those, and I've had the opportunity to see people get saved. I think about going to a little thatch hut in Uganda, Africa, many, many years ago, myself and one of our other men, he's now our president of the ministry. And I think about how a little woman, little short black woman, and she comes across the floor of that thatch hut on her knees. And we're saying to her, no, 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 we're not worthy of that. And she's thanking us for the opportunity of our coming, that we could share God with her. I think about our first trip into Romania. I think about into Oradea. I believe it was Oradea, Romania. We had the opportunity of giving out Bibles. And how one man comes up and I'm giving out a Bible and he grabs my hand and begins to kiss it. And I pull it back because I'm no priest. I am a priesthood of the believers. I believe in that, but I'm not his priest. And I begin to tell him, den Biblia, from Bible. You know, we give them gospel tracts and we give them Biblia, Bible, and we would witness and so forth and so on. And we had that opportunity. I think about going into one of the prison dorms in units, and they had the men bunking four high. And when you'd walk into the prison or into that dorm, the inmates were not allowed to look until the commandant would tell them that they could turn. They would be four behind, one right after another, four. And they're right beside their four bunks, one bunk almost at the top of the ceiling, high. And when that commandant would give them permission, they would turn and they would look at us. I remember having given out gospel tracts and telling them from Bible, no cost of Bible for you. And we would give them Bibles. And I remember as one young man, he was laying on the top of his fourth bunk. We'd been in this unit for a while. We were about to leave. And he reaches down and he hands me something. He wanted me to see that God was among them. And I began to look, and it was a Jehovah Witness tract. You can't call it a gospel. You can call it a false gospel. And I thought within my mind, here we are, 1992. We thought we were some of the first to come into Romania, and the cults have done beaten us here. Why is that so with the independent Baptists? Why is that so amongst our nature that we're always the last? Do you realize that in the Philippines, I'll get off of missions in just a second, but do you realize in the Philippines, in Manila, that there's, I believe it's Manila, it may be on Negros Occidental. I believe it's there. And there's a big, giant warehouse, and it's filled with the propaganda of the Mormons, and they're waiting for China to open up. They've already got it written in Chinese, and that when China opens, they will flood their nation with their propaganda. I'm trying to say to you today that, listen, there's souls to be saved and we need to win them to Christ. I'm sorry that I got off on that. He's rejoicing in God's provision. Let me give you one more and I'll be done here in just a second. Notice with me what he says. He said, I've been young, and he said, now old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Now look with me. Notice with me. I'll give you two thoughts and I'll be done. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. I want you to notice with me. He said, he is ever merciful. As you look at this passage of Scripture, as some of the writers that I've read from believe that this was David, and he's looking back to his sin with Bathsheba, and then the taking of the life of Uriah the Hittite, and then taking her to marry and trying to cover up his sin. One man told from the time that David committed his sin to Psalms, I believe it's 51 or it's 55, where he begins to confess his sin, is roughly an estimated year and a half period. And finally, Nathan the prophet comes in, and Nathan looks at him and he says, there was a man that had one little ewe lamb. And then David in his anger says, who is he? We'll give it back to him. And then Nathan looks at him and he says, thou art the man. And yet God comes along, and David comes along, and he says, he's ever merciful. You know, according to the law, David and Bathsheba should have been taken outside of the city and stoned and left for dead. And yet God in his providential hand, God seeing the sin in the man's life, God seeing everything that takes place, he still kept him as king, and he still loved him, and he still used him thereafter. And then I want you to notice something else with me, and I'm done right here in just a second. Notice with me, there's the word merciful, and then he comes along and he gives us the word lendeth. May I say to you, the word lendeth there, it means to join oneself to another. And when David had sinned and left the Lord, God was more concerned about that fellowship. And God wanted that fellowship between him and David to be where it needed to be. God was concerned about that. And he lendeth, he leaned upon, he brought him back to himself. And I'll tell you, God knows where you're at today, and God knows what's going on. Will you bow with me? Let's have a word of prayer. Would you do that with me this morning? Our Father,